Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, the naughty hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, calling a spade, pulling back that curtain on government waste, fraud, abuse, and police misconduct. Right here on the Hostile Zone. I'm your humble correspondent, Eric Andrew Sinati. Eric A. Sinati with a real big A. Eric Sinati. Miss Bianca C, again, S-E-A, is not here this evening. We are hoping her return very soon. She has been really working hard on her new track, so I've heard a little bit of it, and sounds pretty good. I'm pretty eager to get it on the show. So if you are watching the folk show, on the ticker below is all the contact information. If you're listening at home on iHeartRadio or FM or wherever you might be listening, then you can reach us at eric.sinati@bbstalkradio.com, eric.sinati@bbstalkradio.com, or you can get us at thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com, thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com. And lastly, you can always get me at eric@ericandrewsinati.com. You can catch the show 7 nights a week, prime time, and you can get it in every single podcast platform, usually within 30 minutes after we air on TV or radio. I'm not sure what podcast you use or platform, just Google The Hostile Zone or Bing or whatever you use, The Hostile Zone. Guaranteed we're going to be at the top and you're going to have plenty of options on where to listen or watch. Again, thank you very much for coming again another night at the Hostile Zone. As always, I say thank you to the folks because you guys are what make us the success we are. So today's is a little interesting episode because I plan on covering the debate. And that was the plan. I sat through the entire debate, watched it, and I have formulated some opinions and I am going to cover that. But because of some other news, by the time you hear this filming, it is now September 11th. We all know what September 11th is. So with that being said, the information we discussed on yesterday's show about intelligence agents and operatives and non-affiliated operatives, et cetera, in the intelligence community, along with some law enforcement assistants, have stopped a terrorist plot. Well, I have some further details for you on that. So we're going to get into that tonight. Tonight, we're covering the breaking news that we kind of started yesterday. We're going to talk about what could have happened. What are the tragic consequences that would have been for New York City, but for federal agents and the intelligence community at large? Agents working alongside Canadian authorities. That's right, folks. Alongside Canadian authorities have successfully stopped a major ISIS-inspired terror plot. We reported on this yesterday, and here now I'm giving you actual details of what was to happen and when it was to happen and all the details to that. You're going to hear it here, and here is where you're going to get it. I'm pulling back the curtain, and I'm going to tell it to you like it is. We're not trying to alarm anybody on the show, so please don't be alarmed, but I am going to provide you the information, and you take it for what you will. Okay, so they have basically, between Canada and the United States, worked and stopped an attack, maybe multiple attacks, that were to take place in New York City. Essentially, a Pakistani national named Mohammed And that's all I'm going to say. He's got two other names, but you know, on this show, we don't give notoriety and publicity to people who commit crimes and people who do terror acts, because that's what they want. Remember, we discussed terrorism yesterday and the definition. The second part of terrorism is how it changes your life. The second part of terrorism is this individual thinking that they are a martyr if they actually went through with the act, or that they're a hero amongst other people who want to commit attacks. So we're not going to give his full name. If you want that, you'll get it from another outlet when they release it. However, he was arrested and he was planning coordinated attack on Jewish communities in New York. I'm going to repeat that. Jewish communities within New York, specifically New York City and Brooklyn. Okay, let's get to it. As the high holidays approach in the Jewish faith, it's a chilling reminder of the threats that remain ever present in our world. We're going to take you through the details now tonight, and I'm going to give you the plot, the details, and what it means for the ongoing battle of terrorism. We're going to do it. Let's unpack and dive in. But before we do that, we got to start off with our relevant, famous quote of the day. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the American resolve. George W. Bush, September 11th, 2001. That was pretty relevant. It is September 11th going into it, so there it is. Talking points on this, the plot. Muhammad is a 20-year-old Pakistani national. He was arrested in Canada a couple days ago. We're talking right here, okay? He was arrested in Canada. However, we're going to get into the details of how the intelligence community, specifically non-affiliated operators and operatives and undercover personnel, were able to thwart this. If you remember from yesterday's show, we talked about that the actual agents and people who are more open about where they are employed were unable to break into this terror cell. It's the people with the forward-facing job who are working in a job, but really are working in the intelligence community. So they have their forward-facing job, whether it be, like we said yesterday, a firefighter, a bartender, a real estate agent, whatever they might be. Wherever they were working in a forward-facing job to get close to this individual and his people to stop this attack. No regular agent was going to walk in and just make this happen. Somebody had to go in and develop. It's called developing the intelligence. They were developing the intelligence, passing it to a handler. It's coming back to an analyst. There's a whole process. And when it becomes actionable in real time, then it step up the level of the operation and they take out the TI, the targeted individual. So this individual planned a specific terror attack on Jewish communities within New York City. He had specifically a date chosen, folks. I'm going to tell you right now. This was ready to go. This is how close we are. Like I said yesterday, this close. Less than a month from now, we would be dealing with devastating situation in New York City if these intelligence operators and other members of that community did not do what they did. He planned on October 7th of this year, 2024, for the anniversary of the Hamas invasion on Israel. So October 7th, we remember last year, the terror group Hamas, because they're not a nation, they're not a state or anything, they're a terrorist organization, okay? They're not Palestine, they're a terror organization. People confuse Palestine with Hamas. Hamas is no different than Al-Qaeda or ISIS or anything else. So this individual that I named before, Muhammad, first name, was arrested this week and turned over from Canada to the United States. He's here on our soil now. He planned to attack on October 7th, which is less than a month from now, Jewish community centers during the height of Jewish holidays. Think about this, okay? Ponder that thought. We're going to take a short break.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code, 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to The Hostile Zone with your humble correspondent, Eric A. Sonati. Continuing on, we were discussing the potential terrorist attack that would have occurred a month from now, but for the eager, steady, steadfast intelligence community and the members who worked overseas in tandem with allied nations and other law enforcement agencies. They thwarted this, and it's not going to happen, at least from this individual. That's what we were discussing. They were going to do it on the 7th of October. He had been radicalized online. Because remind you, I said he was 20 years old. 20 years old. Radicalized online and undercover, non-affiliated intelligence operatives have gained direct access with him at the beginning of 2023. So these members of the IC, the intelligence community, infiltrated close enough to him, communicating with him electronically and in person at times for a year almost. Well, actually over a year since, it says since mid to late 23, with the planned attack to be the 7th of October of this year, a couple weeks from now. He had been communicating with undercover agents as well as some FBI personnel as well. He had been working and talking with people online. He wanted to actually discuss plans with somebody about building an offline cell of ISIS supporters. It's boggling to me that people today, in this day and age, think that they can go online and get radicalized. Of course, I mean, you can read this stuff. I don't know how this person thought he wasn't going to be seen and found. But he was. He was trying to build a cell of ISIS supporters in Canada so they can attack the United States. Now, I'm going to circle that point, folks. It's not in my notes, but I beat this all the time on the show. Notice that he was in Canada. What is Canada? A border state, a border nation. What are we struggling with in America right now? Securing our borders. So how he intended to get across the border, he was in Canada. So then he could have obviously was planning to come from the Canadian border through New York. Obviously, that would have been the fastest route. I mean, doesn't take much intellect to figure out that that would be the thought. So again, the focus is on the border. Now, good thing we had excellent intelligence operatives who, and also credit to NSA. NSA was big with signals. With their, you know, I know nobody likes the mass surveillance with the scooping of information and data and emails, but like I said yesterday's show, he was in Canada. He's not an American citizen, from what I understand, but either way, he's in Canada. The Constitution does not apply. I know I hold this book up all the time, the United States Constitution, and it is the most mighty book out there, the big testament to our nation. but it doesn't apply in a foreign nation. I said this yesterday. So they managed, these persons in the intelligence community, these operators, managed to get close enough to stick with him for a year, and then they grabbed him and brought him and turned him over to the United States at the border. He was presented to the United States. Basically, here it is on a silver platter. Unfortunately, these operatives will never get the recognition that they deserve for what they did. It's the way it is. But that's the life that they chose. And without those people, we can't be here today. The nation can't be here today. Somebody has to be willing to do and go where nowhere else will go, or where nowhere else can go, because somebody has to do it. And unfortunately, they end up, if they die, they end up a star on the wall. They end up a notch on a spot in Arlington. But nobody will know the true pain and suffering that they went through in their life, whether they survived or did not survive, and what they've done for our nation. No one will ever know. We know on this show. We know. And we thank you. Our fans, thank you. I also want to take this moment to say, go to the show's website and subscribe for premium membership, because we make donations to military families and people who are in need. And we do this with sponsors and subscriptions. Go to the subscription page and sign up. It's like $2.99. You get direct access to the show. You get return. You get quick email return if possible. You get priority email. You get backstage photos, scenes, and you also get invited to events, and you get some merchandise items, and you get autograph of my book. All right, enough said on that. Let's talk about what's going on here. So he specifically wanted to target Jewish centers with a focus on Shabbat synagogues in New York. Shabbat synagogues in New York, folks. Now, I'm a Jersey person, so I know these places, and I know it's a large Jewish community. I come from that community. I'm Italian, but I came from that community. We grew up together. It's a very large, tight-knit community. They practice their religion together. They do a lot of things together. So this would have been a devastating attack on American soil against America and against the Jewish people. So not only is it an attack on the United States, but it would have been a hate crime on top of it. It's disgusting. What really sickens me is that anybody would ever target a house of God, a religious institution, regardless of what religion you stand for, what it is you believe in. People go to synagogues, churches, and all these places, temples, because they are being reverent. They are celebrating life. They are celebrating a higher cause, and they are doing good deeds or trying to do good deeds. They don't expect to be a part of the next terror attack or the next news cycle. They don't, and they shouldn't be. Sadly, all these a lot of churches and synagogues are hiring security. And now there's been some talk in certain areas where government is going to put legislation saying they can't do that. I don't know. That could be a topic for another day. But last I understood, there was a separation between church and state. So I don't know. Let's get into more details of what was going to happen. He had this very well planned. Weapons and execution. He intended on using an AR-15 rifle, the military style equipment, because he intended on doing a mass type shooting. Pretty scary stuff. He was not here in the United States. So I'm not, there's no information that I have or that I can put out right now how far he got with gaining access to any weapons, what weapons training he had. But let's just put it like this. The plot was very far, and it was going to happen. So, again, thank you to the intelligence community. We all know how hard everybody in that community works. And I am happy for America, and I'm happy for the Jewish people that this didn't happen. But he wasn't just going to do one. His plan was to attack multiple locations simultaneously, and he literally wanted to call it a slaughter. To slaughter. That was his words. I'm quoting that if you're watching. I'm air quoting. He wanted to slaughter as many Jewish people as possible to show his support to ISIS. Right. Remember ISIS in Syria? Under the Trump administration, they were pretty much no longer existent because they were just getting bombarded with drones and missiles from ships and planes and jets and stuff. If you remember the fall of Syria, and then ISIS started blowing up churches. That ISIS, you probably haven't heard him in a while. Here it is again. ISIS support. How much anybody from ISIS was involved with this individual? I'm sure we'll get further on that moving forward. With that, let's take a short break and I'll break into what happened.
At the Ramrand Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine that way. You always want to step behind. So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. A beautiful face without a name, no soul. A beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly higher than any eagle. For you are the wind beneath my wings. It might have appeared to go unnoticed, but I've got it all here in my heart. I want you to know I know the truth. Of course I know it. I would be nothing without you. Did you ever know that you're my hero? You're everything I wish I could be. I could fly higher than any eagle. For you are the wind beneath my wings. Did I ever tell you you're my hero? You're everything, everything I wish I could be. Oh, I could fly higher than an eagle. You are the wind beneath my wings. You are the wind beneath my wings. You're the wind beneath my wings. Fly, fly, fly away. You let me fly so high. Oh, you're the wind beneath my wings. Oh, you. The wind beneath my wings. Fly, fly, so high against the sky, so high I almost touch the sky. Thank you, thank you, thank God for you, the wind beneath my wings.
Welcome back to the Hostile Zone with your humble correspondent, Eric A. Sinati, right here coming at you, iHeartRadio TV. If it's not on your cable provider, demand to tell them you want the Hostile Zone. If not, go on to Roku, Apple TV, Fire Stick, or any of them, and you can get the shows there as well, and all social media as well, and every single podcast. So this individual was arrested, and he's facing heavy legal penalties. He was apprehended in Ormstown, Canada, and that was just before he was attempting to cross the border. So he was planned and was now trying to make entry. However, he didn't, not really being that bright, the individuals he was working with were undercover intelligence operatives, so they were never going to let him cross the border. But he did attempt. He was going to cross the border, and they stopped him in Ormstown, and then he was presented, turned over from these intelligence people to U.S. law enforcement, where now he faces charges for attempting to provide material support to foreign terrorist organization. I'm sure they're going to add on a whole bunch of new stuff, but that alone faces a minimum of a 20-year sentence. So, I don't know. Providing material support to a terrorist organization. If you read between the lines, folks, here's more to this case. Because what material support did he provide? So far, we know the plan was to attack Jewish community groups, specifically Shabbat and synagogues during Holy Time. He wanted to slaughter as many people to show his allegiance and support to ISIS. Now, when I put my lawyer hat on, I look at this and I say, he's facing charges of attempting to provide material support. Now, here's the thing. I can say with somewhat certainty that I understand where the attempt comes from, because he was actually communicating with undercover intelligence operators, etc. So he actually was not in communication, or so it says, to the where it says attempting. I would guess that means that the only contact that he made with ISIS, air quoting again, is really with people who were undercover intelligence people who, again, put their life on the line every day. They have to go into communities and act and be just like people in that community so they can gain access to bad actors like this guy. So again, remember these unsung shadow heroes, the silent professionals. So that's a 20-year sentence, and I would attempt to think that that's probably the beginning charge, and I can only imagine how his interrogation process is going right now. I'm sure we'll find out more about that. But moving forward, the impact on national security is big, okay? This plot, it just highlights the ongoing, continuous risk of homegrown terrorism and digitally radicalized. Homegrown terrorism and digitally radicalized. Let's understand what the difference of the two are. Homegrown terrorist is somebody who is from our home. Now, I guess he was in Canada, and he's a Pakistani national, but he was in Canada, and they are part of North America. So I guess you can kind of call that homegrown. It's not like he came from Pakistan directly to do this right now, he was here. But the key is digital radicalization. We talk about this stuff on this show a lot. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. Don't believe everything you see on social media. And if you have children and you have people who are maybe not so connected to the community or maybe a little lost, these are the people they target. And they look to turn these people. They're looking for somewhere to belong, generally. And I'm giving you a little like psychological analysis here, a little behavioral science right here, a little behavioral analysis for you guys. The bad actors look for vulnerable people who will commit acts of terror on behalf for them. Because again, they don't want to do it themselves. They plan and have somebody else do it because they don't want to die. They don't want to go to prison. They'll have somebody else do it. Just like bin Laden didn't knock down our towers himself. He had other people do it. And then it took us to mitigate him. But the rest of the people mitigated themselves in the towers. Think about that one, okay? So they look for people who are withdrawn from society. People that were picked on in school, bullied. People that have family discord issues. People that just are not fitting into society and have nowhere else to go. And they want to have a home. They want to feel part of something. They look for these people. That's why we need to be vigilant 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 180, 180, 365, 360. You must be paying attention. If you have children, you must pay attention even more because you don't know where they are on the internet and who they are communicating with. This particular situation worked out for the good. When this individual, Muhammad, was out there, he came across undercover intelligence operators. So, yeah, they played the game with their forward-facing job, and then they got close to him, and they were able to gather the intelligence, which therefore now saved a lot of lives, and it saved a terror across the nation. Forget just the lives that would have been lost on the attack, his alleged slaughter he wanted to do. How about all the family members of the people that would have been slaughtered? How about all the first responders that would have had to respond? How about the people that witnessed it? And how about the rest of the country knowing we were hit? That is terror. It's not just the act. We are very, very lucky and thankful. Now, ISIS may no longer control a territory. We pretty much know that under the Trump administration, they really put a heavy foot on ISIS. Really did. Really brought it down. But because they don't have a territory does not mean they don't have the ability to inspire attacks online. And that's a significant challenge for law enforcement and intelligence agencies. Specifically for law enforcement, because it is a different plan of actions, SOP, standard operating procedure for law enforcement or intelligence agencies. Law enforcement, really, they really got to pay attention to the Constitution. There are certain times, we mentioned yesterday, the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Court, that would be a place to go get a warrant. But there are things that are out there that are just not able for them to do. That's why you have, they are separate agencies, but they are sharing information now. Maybe this didn't happen in previous years, but they're sharing information. So the people that are actually on the ground, digging in and gaining access to intelligence, real-time, actionable, and then they are developing that, providing that to a handler, back to the United States, to an analyst, who then makes that into a report. Well, they have names, but we're not going to go specific what they're called, but that one of those reports that they would have a name might have redacted sections in it based on what who needs to know what. But that report then will end up on the desks of the appropriate people in a bulletin or in a secured place, whoever might need to see that. It worked out here. might not have worked out. With that said, keep a thought on that. We're going on a short break. Don't make me come looking for you. I better see you back.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code, 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I always appreciate when you sit through the commercial. I know nobody likes commercials, but we need sponsors. It's just the way it is. Anyway, so I'm glad that we were able to provide this information tonight, follow up since yesterday about the terror plot. I'm very happy that it didn't happen. But if we have to be cognizant that the bottom line, this is a continuous threat. We have continuous issues going on worldwide. Geopolitically, there is something going on everywhere. And when I was saying yesterday's show, I pretty much knew what this was going to be today, but I was waiting for further information and what to say. But you have to be on the forefront. Okay. Everybody is a defender here, because it's our country, it's our nation. And if we're not united, remember after 9/11, we were united, we stand, everybody flew flags. We seem to have drifted away from that. But I hope if you're paying attention to the show tonight and you understood what would have happened on October 7th and how many people would have been, quote unquote, slaughtered, as this gentleman put it, I shouldn't say gentleman, as this terrorist says, we would be in a different place. So keep that in mind as we are hating each other because of religious reasons and other stuff. Remember that people want to kill us just because we are Americans. They don't care if you're white, black, Jewish, gay, or non-gay, binary, whatever you want to be. If you want to wear, you want to dress up like a clown and hang out at clown parties, it doesn't matter. You are American. They're going to hate you regardless. Now, this specific attack was geared towards the Jewish people, but it was to take place in New York City, the heart metropolis of the United States. So even if it was targeting the Jewish people, it is still an attack on the United States and an attack on our people. Whether it was on Jewish people or not, it's an attack on the United States. They are citizens of this country, and they are Americans, no different than me or anybody else. So I just want to be clear on that. So as we broke down and explained how this foiled plot went down, it's very clear that vigilance and proactive intelligence efforts are crucial in the fight against terrorism. Now I'm going to bring this back again to yesterday. Proactive intelligence, absolutely imperative. If you remember, I used Leon Panetta's quote yesterday in yesterday's show. Mr. Panetta said that the quote was something to the effect of good intelligence and then democracy. We talked about it yesterday. I want to pontificate the point further. Proactive intelligence is very crucial. It's vital. But also, American rights are paramount. Good intelligence is vital, but the rights of the American people are paramount. Remember that. Okay? Inalienable rights. We have that in the Constitution. So don't confuse proactive intelligence as over, you know, Big Brothers, Big Brother, and all this. Proactive intelligence goes to the level of not violating Americans' rights. I'm not saying they should be mass surveilling people. But we should be looking at communications in foreign countries and in transactions between nations and persons calling hotbedded areas, etc. This is why we have silent professionals all around the world who are living a forward-facing job somewhere gathering intelligence. I just want to make sure that nobody confuses when I said proactive intelligence efforts are crucial. They are, but I don't want you to confuse proactive intelligence efforts as saying Sanati supports violating people's constitutional rights. They are God-given, inalienable rights that are the fabric foundation of the United States. That is why people like this terrorist want to attack the United States, because we have a document that is so strong that they can't break it. That document will not break. People may violate it and they pay a penalty for it. Maybe not right away, but that's what the courts are for. That's what judges and lawyers and courtrooms are for. I am not promoting mass surveillance, but some surveillance is necessary. So we have to find a happy middle on that. Having worked in this area, I understand how actionable intelligence is and how vital it is for us to do what it is we need to do to keep the people safe. I get that. I know that. I'm very, very knowledgeable in that area. But at the same time, I'm knowledgeable in the Constitution. And you have to weigh out the options. That's all I'm going to say with that. I don't want to beat that down. But I said proactive intelligence, and I also took apart Leon Panetta's quote yesterday, so I want to make sure you understand. Intelligence is good, but too much intelligence does affect democracy. I don't agree with what Mr. Panetta had to say. I liked the quote. I don't know the context in which he said it, but I can say that too much intelligence does not provide for a good democracy. Because when the people are afraid of their government, because their government is in your bedroom, as I say in this show, is reading everything you do and knows everywhere you go. Let's be real. They have cameras on every street corner now. They are using Ring doorbells. Check it out, folks. Look up Ring doorbell and see if they don't have a contract with law enforcement that they're taking people's Ring doorbell footage and using it. Read the fine print. Whenever you're going to install an app on your phone, this isn't even in the script, folks. I'm just putting it in, because it needs to be there. Whenever you install an app on your phone, you ever wonder why they have these great programs, but they're free? How do you think they make money? Everybody just says accept, accept. They slide their fingers and roll through all that print you can't read. And they say accept. People like me print it out and read it. And it's, you know, you scroll for 5 minutes. It's like 80 pages, 100 pages of legal jargon saying they now have ownership to your phone. I also want to say that they know what is there. They may not tell you, but they know what's there. There is collections going on, and there's nothing you can do about that. Let's just hope that they're not reading everything unless if they're getting a warrant. But for this particular case, it occurred in Canada, and it does not matter in the sense of the Constitution. But I just needed to say that because I said the sentence about proactive intelligence, and I did not want somebody to try to bot and troll me later. So this gentleman's plan was stopped in time. The threat of radicalization continues to loom large. This is still an ongoing situation. Those intelligence operators are back out there doing their thing. Back out where they are. There is radicalization. So if you're on the internet and you have children, see what they're looking at. Make sure that they're not falling into chat rooms and places where they get preyed upon. It doesn't take much. People post all their sad stuff on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and Snapchat, and what's the other one? TikTok, right? So they broke up with their boyfriend. They're crying to the world on Facebook, on social media. They break up. They did this. This happened. That happened. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm being bullied. Well, they put all this out on public. And then there's bad actors who want to target the United States. But they're not tough enough, smart enough, or man enough to actually come here themselves and do something. So they will prey upon our youth and say, well, you won't be bullied anymore. You come to us and we'll make you part of our group. You'll stand for something. You'll be part of something. You're not. But people who are easily strayed believe that. And that's what I'm looking right at the camera saying, we have to be vigilant on what it is we do on the internet and never go on the dark net. Never, ever go on the dark net. I'm not even going to tell you how to do it because it's accessible, but don't even think about it. You need tools to do it and programs. Don't do it. Bad, bad things happen there. Don't go there. So just remember that this serves as a powerful reminder that the fight against terrorism is far from over. Like I said yesterday, not if, when. We won this one here. Can't win every game, okay? You just don't win. Nobody wins every fight, every game, everything. So not if, when. So you must stay vigilant. We have to remain aware and engaged. As I always say, danger doesn't take a day off. Neither should you. I don't take a day off. You don't take a day off. We all pay attention and we cooperate. We work together. Maybe we can continue to stop incidents like this from happening. Maybe this could be a show of how we're going to continue to move forward. That whatever plan you plan against us, we're going to figure it out and we're going to stop it. Let that be the plan of how we move forward. We haven't had problems in a long time, and I'm glad we stopped this one. Now, but I want to go to a couple minutes here about the debate tonight. Did you watch the debate there, Tomas?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Indeed.
And what did you think of it?
I thought it went as I thought it would have went. I think Trump looked very frustrated and confused.
I won't say confused, maybe frustrated.
Yeah,
I think that they cut him off and they moved him around a lot. Wouldn't let him talk on some topics.
The topics weren't very good topics,
right?
Either
they beat on a lot of the same topic too, right, Carrie? You watched too, right?
Yes, Carrie? I did. And it went just exactly the way I figured it would too.
I gotta say, they really did not moderate, I think, as good as I would have hoped. But I'm not going pro Trump or anything here because honestly, I'm gonna give a little credit to the vice president, Madam Vice President. I thought that Vice President Harris actually sounded pretty good. She wasn't giggling and laughing as she always does. She seemed to be on point. I'm not gonna comment on her opinions, but I'm just gonna say her demeanor, her approach, her execution of her verbiage and how she was going to do it. I thought it was a different Kamala Harris than we have seen. Do I think that Kamala Harris is what we need in the White House? No, I don't. But that's my personal opinion. To say she did bad tonight would be lying. And that would be fake news that would just pick a candidate and give you 100% they support that person. I thought she sounded pretty good. I thought she came well prepared. She came to the show prepared, that's for sure. It was no giggling. I think that the problem for former President Trump, in my opinion, was that they didn't let him go down certain avenues that he wanted to go. And here's a very key point that I noticed, and I wonder if other people are going to report on this, other news outlets. Notice that they had the microphones off. Normally, the microphone stayed on. If you rewind to 2016, Trump v. Hillary Clinton, Trump v. Clinton. Remember that debate where they were standing and walking around and Hillary was talking and he made the joke, you'd be in jail, right? The microphones are on. During the other debates, microphones are on. So that plays a big part, at least in my opinion. Call me wrong. See if other outlets report on this. But I noticed that they had microphones turned off. So they totally didn't even allow somebody to fully rebut because the microphone was off. I noticed the microphone to be off quite often for Trump. And I'm not saying that I'm giving him props or anything, but I do think that he wanted to go down an area. One specific one when they were discussing his hush money criminal charges. And then he wanted to talk about people that have done things and didn't be and weren't charged with crimes. They kind of stopped that conversation, but that was his argument to his situation, and he should have been able to finish that point. At least I think. Yeah, I mean, I'm not out trying to say who won or didn't win. I don't even know. Because I had to film now, I had literally rushed in, and we had last minute information on this other story. So I don't even know what other news outlets are saying. But I think that the microphones being turned off are definitely a fact changer in this process. Let's see if that, I'm going to call it now. I think it's going to be something you're going to hear. I think you're going to hear it from a lot of people. And I think it's going to come out that, hey, it was a kind of unfair. That's just how I feel. Let's see how it works. I'm not going to call either way who won, didn't win. I guess we'll see. There's more debates to come. I think that former President Trump probably was in his mind trying to not. It's very difficult for him. He's up against a woman of color, and he's been very much attacked in the media. Right? Let's be real. Let's call it out. Spade a spade. He's not received good media. He doesn't. So if he had sharply attacked back like he did with, let's go back to 2016 in the Republican primary, where he went at it with Ted Cruz and everybody there. That was the Trump you were expecting. He had to walk a fine line here because she's a woman and she's a woman of color. And I'm sure that plays into the factor. Nobody, I know it was even back in 16, many pundits were talking about, don't go out there and look like you're beating up a woman on the debate. Try to be a gentleman, but he also has to win the debate. I don't know. That's all. We're going to cover the debate more, but we really focused on this terror today. So that's the little bit I have on that. Basically, you know, I think it went well. They focused on immigration economy. They talked about mass deportation and tariffs. A tariff is like a tax coming in. You know, going into the election, though, Trump does have the numbers. He has the numbers and he has the financial backing to do quite well. I think that Kamala did a very good job at distancing herself from the Biden administration, even to the fact of one time making a statement that to former President Trump, she said, "You're not running against Biden, you're running against me." But Trump was leaning to the argument about the Biden administration, of which she is the number two person. But she did do very good at distancing herself from Joe Biden. But I think it was a strong performance for her. I think it might toss the numbers a little bit. There's always post-debate polls, a jump or a fall. I wouldn't make this the game changer, though. She did pop some zingers that obviously maybe rattled Trump a little bit, probably because he wanted to be the Donald Trump we know, the one that's going to punch back. But I think he was trying to not be so aggressive. Maybe we'll see how that works out in the polls. If it really is a substantial toss-up with the numbers, maybe we'll see a completely different Donald Trump in the next round. Maybe the next moderators might not turn the mic off. Maybe the mic isn't an issue. Maybe I just noticed it and I thought about it. I don't know. I'm your humble correspondent. I'm a pundit like everybody else. That's what I think. I guess we'll listen around. I'll pay attention tonight after we get off and see what they're saying. But this debate isn't just about politics. It's literally about the character and leadership of America's future. Okay? Let's remember, It's not about the candidates. Let's forget the candidate for a minute. Okay, forget the person. Think about the position and what it is that they are going to do or what it is that they have done. What have they shown in the history of public service or business service, whatever they're doing, that they show that they've accomplished? And what are they saying they're going to do with those accomplishments further if they're elected into the next position? That's what we should be looking at. Let's forget about all the side nonsense. Remember the beginning of the show. People want to target and hurt us. So we need a strong leader. We need a leader who is going to be respected, maybe a little feared in a way for adversary nations, but definitely a president of action, a president that people don't feel they can walk on, and a president that will stand up mighty and say, you strike America, we're coming back twice. That's what we need. We don't need to be in a war everywhere. We can keep our silent professionals doing what they do, doing a very good job. But our military is at the ready, and we need a leader of our nation who is prepared to utilize all resources when necessary in the protection of liberty and justice and the American people and the protection of our rights and our Constitution, regardless if it's Trump or Harris. One of them need to be standing up as a leader. And who is it going to be? That's for you to decide in November. That's why you need to pay attention, like I say. So my closing tonight, call to action. And this has to do with the election coming up and the terror stuff we were talking about. 360, 365, 180 forward, 180 backwards, equals 180 plus 180, folks, equals 360. So 360, keep your head on a swivel, 365 days a year. Because you know what? The bad guy is not taking a day off. Terrorists don't go to bed and not wonder what they're going to do to us tomorrow. They're not going on vacation or holiday. They're working all the time. So we need to keep our eyes and ears open, folks. With that, I thank Carrie, my executive producer. Thank you, Tomas. Good job in helping prepare. Miss Bianca is doing a great job with her songs. Don't forget, we'll be on every night of the week. You can catch us on every podcast platform, iHeartRadio, whatever. Just Google The Hostile Zone. Reach out to the show. The best defense against terrorism is a strong, united nation. The best defense against terrorism is a strong, united nation. And remember that. Not united, like UN, a united country. And that quote comes from training purposes within the intelligence community. It's an unattributed quote, meaning it's an unnamed person. The best defense against terrorism is a strong, united nation. The stronger we are, and we look past color, pronoun, religion, and all this stuff, and remember that you're American, that is the best defense against terrorism. With that, we're going to go to the funny joke, and we're going to go right to Bianca to take us out with pride. So, Tomas, why did the security guard take up painting?
He got tired of seeing yellow tape.
He got tired of seeing, really?
No.
Because he was good at drawing the line.
Drawing the line.
Yep. Anyway, folks, thank you for coming to the Hostile Zone. I appreciate every one of you. Thank you. Reach out to the show. You are making us what we are. Giving you the real deal. Pulling back that curtain. Calling a spade a spade. Eric Sinani signing off. Bianca C is going to take us out with honor, pride, and glory. Give it away, Bianca.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner